Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York at the Bright Red Desk. And I think it's just me tonight manning the helm here at Excess Astrology, taking calls and talking about the weather ahead of us in the sky and how to navigate it. Mark's out with a sore throat, and Heather is traveling and might be joining us, but until she shows up, it's me. But I know Mark's not coming because he's sick. And I was sick. You know, there's a flu going around, man, that's pretty nasty. And it has definitely kind of come in and gone whoosh in my life and in the lives of people I know. So if you've been feeling the flu, good. It's, to my mind, I was all excited because Mars was on my ascendant in Chicago. And I was like, ooh, Mars on my ascendant, that's going to be great. Maybe, you know, meet somebody cute, you know, a little Now I was home in bed sick, you know, so Mars, never anticipate a Mars transit unless it says wow, because it was on the south node. It said, no, we're taking you out. We're not letting you go play. We're taking you out. And, of course, we had a couple of suicides last week, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. And we are going to have Mars on that south node two more times. So last week it was exact, and unfortunately they chose to, you know, for their personal reasons, decided it was time for them to leave. And Mars on the south node is a releasing energy. So we all are having it somewhere in our chart. Look to see where it's releasing in your chart and allow it to release. Say, okay, I guess I'm supposed to be letting go there. So you want to look at the house in your chart that runs between 9 Aquarius and 0 Aquarius. So that's where the releasing is taking place. And Mars is going to go across that node three times between now and January 10th or October 10th. The first was this week. And as he does that, he kind of clears out the energy. He says, okay, that is finished. You are done with that now. You don't need that anymore. And so what you want to do is practice gracious releasing. I know in my case, you know, we've moved and moved all the furniture and fixed everything up, and now it's like, okay, so what are we keeping and what are we releasing? I'm at the releasing part. Like, pretty much figured out everything we're keeping, and then some of the stuff, you know, am I ready to let it go? Am I ready to part with it? And so the Mars to the south node says, well, someone else might love it. Someone else might want it. Someone else might be interested in it. What is it serving you? How is it serving you? Now, the summer, interestingly, we have all these planets retrograde. The only planets that aren't going to be retrograde are the Sun and the Moon and Venus. Now, Venus, of course, goes retrograde in the fall when she's in Scorpio. But all the planets in the sky are retrograde this summer. So when I was younger and I used to play basketball, or when you watch people playing basketball, they run backwards down the basketball court. And if you ever run backwards down a court, you know it's kind of intimidating because you're running backwards and you're not allowed to look. You just have to run, and you know, and just hope you're not, you know, running into somebody or running into a wall or something, because you're running backwards. So that's what the energy of the summer is, running backwards and allowing us to go backwards to go forward, right? Because sometimes that is necessary. So with Mars retrograde, which he stations on the 26th, so he's not going retrograde yet. He's still going forward. So between now and the 26th, get stuff out there. Get your stuff launched. Get your stuff in the world and encourage it to go out in the world. And then once he stations on the 26th and he goes backwards, he's backwards till the end of August. So everything's revise, revisit, redo, 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 all over, right? And giving it backward motion, backward energy. Then Saturn is retrograde. We're going to go in order. Jupiter's retrograde. Jupiter's retrograde through July 3rd, 11th, when he stations 13 to go forward again. So he's retrograde now and all next month, and then he goes traces over what he was retrograde in. And he's in what's called a trine to Neptune, which means there's a lot of energy around dreams and visions and new ideas. So it's not a time when you're not going to have those coming in. And a lot of times when you're cleaning out stuff or you're throwing things away or you're going through the drawer that had the fish spoon in it. Remember that, the fish spoon that you used to, when the fish died, that you used to narc the, you know, to flush the fish down the toilet? You know, you have this energy with the fish spoon, and you go, oh, yeah, that was the fish spoon. And then it brings up all these memories, right? So the memories are part of the clearing out. Those memories are going to seed the future. They're going to seed the next thing. So the Jupiter-Neptune trine is all about supporting and seeding the future and giving it a new vision and giving it a new way of thinking and being, right? Which is great because it's going to encourage us all to work within in a slightly different way so that we all see it in a new form, which is fun. You know, that's a good thing to have happen. Then the Saturn is retrograde, and he's retrograde until the second week in September when he stations at 2.5. I want you to remember the 2.5 number. That's how far down Mars goes back to. Mars goes back to 2.5, right? Saturn goes back to 2.5. Uranus goes up to 2.5. I'm giving you a sneak preview. But anyway, so the 2.5 is a big number. And, of course, the nodes are going backwards to 2.5. So Saturn is going backwards in his journey. And he's going back to 2.5 and through the summer, asking us to revise, revisit, and think about things. He got as high as 11, and now he's backwards through the summer. And then he goes forward, got as high as 9, rather. And then he's backwards, and he goes forward in the end of the summer. Next up, Uranus. Uranus is going to go backwards. He's entered Taurus, and he goes as high as 2.5, and then he goes retrograde in the fall, but because he's aspecting the node of fate, he's squaring the node of fate, and he's trining Saturn, he's like stirring the mud, and he's also getting the square from Mars. So the Uranus hitting the south node, and then the node of fate getting aspected by Mars, and Mars squaring Uranus, this is just extreme volatility, and people making decisions in a quick and perhaps not always thought out manner that then cause a reaction from other people because they've just made the decision kind of helter-skelter and then made everybody crazy. Uranus is going to go backwards to 28 of Aries. So he's going to be back in Aries November, December, January, February, and then he goes back into Taurus again March. So he starts the journey, gets as high as 2.5, has all these arguments, discussions, relationships, connections with the node of fate, with Mars, with Saturn. And, you know, he kind of has all this stuff that he's catching up on and learning about. And then he goes, oh, okay, I guess let me just change some of the stuff I thought I was going to be doing. So Uranus starting a new 8-year cycle, but also saying, but you still have stuff to finish up in the old cycle. And you're kind of like, I know. So it's kind of like, you know, you're finishing up stuff with the next thing coming, right? You know, so it's that kind of energy. Then Neptune, of course, is in Pisces. He's going backwards now, and he's going back. He got as high as 16, going back to 14, and he's trine to Jupiter, right? So the two of them are in this big trine all summer long, which is very watery and very, very emotional and very feeling and very much about the dream. So watch where you have 15. Jupiter's at 15, which is the world point, Neptune at 15, which is just where he is. And so there's a lot of dreaming energy activating in the 15s. And then Pluto's retrograde, and he's retrograde until the first week in October. And he goes back to 18, and he is he's in that 20 to 18 mode. So he's really working hard on those degrees, getting ready to go back into the Virgo decant where he's going to fix things. When he's in Taurus decant, he's all about the stuff. When he goes into Virgo decant, which is 20 on, he fixes things. So we're in the all about the stuff part this summer. All about the stuff. Do you need the stuff? Do you want the stuff? What do you want to do about the stuff? And then as Jupiter comes to sextile Pluto over the course of the summer, Jupiter and Pluto are going to work together. And they're in a closing sextile because Jupiter's going to meet up with Pluto in 2020. But he's talking to Pluto and he's saying, do you really need all that stuff? And Pluto goes, yeah, I do. Well, you know, Pluto's kind of, you know, he's kind of a hoarder. No offense, Pluto. I didn't mean to offend you there. And so the two of them are going to kind of work on what are we hoarding? Are we hoarding anything? Or are we letting go of the hoarding? Right. So think about that. All those planets. And then, of course, Mercury's retrograde all month of August. We also have three eclipses, one at 20, the sun and moon at 20, Cancer opposite Pluto. Then the next one is a full moon eclipse, and that is at 4 degrees Aquarius, Leo. And then the third one is August 10th at 18 degrees of Leo, inviting us to create, inviting us to first nurture and transform, Cancer and Pluto, then to say what our choices are, full moon, then to say, okay, what do you want to grow? What do you want to love? What do you want to nurture? New moon at 18, Leo. So it's a really interesting summer, and it is full of really interesting energy around each of us, finding our path, finding our direction, finding our home, creating our home, clearing out our home, perhaps letting go of our home, and giving ourselves a new version, a new vision of what the home can look like. So it's pretty important. And, of course, the cat came along and whacked my screen here. So hopefully I can get this back. It looks like I can. Okay, thanks. That's what happens when you have a touch-sensitive screen and a cat with a long tail that comes and whacks your screen. So at any rate, let me take some calls. We have callers with their hands up. And if you called and you want to me to call and pick up your call, press 1 and I will take your call. So I'm going to start with my oldest caller, 202-281. I'm going to push your button and you should be able to hear me. Can you hear me, 202-281?
Yes, I can hear you. Thanks, Anne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I met a gentleman at a wedding.
Uh-huh.
And went on a date, and I would like to check out his chart.
Oh, okay.
I don't have time, though. Just
okay, well, we can't really check it out. We can just look at basic tendencies. What's his birthday?
Okay, no problem. It's October. Wait. Oh, no. When's his birthday? I'm blanking. Miners. Okay, October 29th.
Mm-hmm.
1979.
Okay, and you don't know the time. Mm-mm. And where was he born?
Cambridge, Mass.
Okay. In Middlesex, I'm guessing. All right. Okay, so we don't have a time, but what we have is a Scorpio with an Aquarius moon, October 29th, 1979. And he has Saturn and Jupiter on the North Node, so and he's got Mars and Leo. So there's a nice setup with him in terms of, you know, when he knows what he wants, he's clear and he's pretty forward motion. He's going to have an Aquarius moon that day, depending on, you know, whatever time he's born. So the Aquarius moon often has an interesting story around the family. So always instructive when you have a moon in Aquarius squaring his Venus in Scorpio is to find out what that interesting story was around his family, because that's going to tell you a lot about who he is as a person. And Aquarius moon people often have unusual, you know, stories of origin. The family moved a lot. They were the purple. So that's a really important point. And based on that moon.
Yeah, he does.
Based on the moon, that talks to you about how well he can commit. He's got Saturn on the North Node and got Jupiter on the North Node, both in Virgo. So this is a guy who very often can go, I have to work. You know, I really have to work. And you go, well, do you want to play? And he's like, no, I have to work. You know? And he does the work because that's safer than the relationship, right? So he has a little bit of fear of relationships. Not a bad guy, he's a nice guy.
Thing?
Huh? Pardon?
Does he have Uranus on his Venus?
On his Venus too. That's kind of the.
That's
you know,
what I was nervous about.
Is well, that, that's not bad because you're an astrologer, right? And you asked for his birthday when you met him, so that's you, Venus Uranus. You know he dates astrologers, or
I
he should
like
anyway.
That.
Huh? Yeah. So that's
he
not
has
a bad
high
aspect.
Vibration way to look at it instead of the
yes,
vibration
yes.
like he's scared.
Yeah. Well, the scared comes to me from the Jupiter and Virgo on the North Node, right? Because Jupiter rules the South in Pisces, and it goes to ruler Virgo, which is its detriment. So it says he would rather work than be in relationship because they scare him. And so you have to kind of, you know, so what you want to do is say, I'm not scary. I'm fun, right? And
what's
if you could
scary,
invite
though?
Him on the fun part, huh? Pardon?
What is scary to him? Like
everything.
Scary is a relative kind of thing. Oh.
Scary is a relative. His Jupiter's 5.5 years old, and his sun is 5 years old, right? So he turns into a 5-year-old when he's scared. What do 5-year-old boys do with girls?
Nothing. Sounds like what I want.
Well, no. When his inner 5-year-old comes out, you want to kind of say, "Oh, your inner 5-year-old's out." Okay, so I'm dealing with a 5-year-old right now. What is a 5-year-old like? They like food. They like playing with their cars. They like, you know, jumping off the trampoline. They don't like girls, right? I mean, some 5-year-olds do. I don't want to be biased against every 5-year-old, but they have to kind of figure out what their 5-year-old thing is. Mm-hmm. And then once it calms down, then he can come back, right? But it's not a real old person you're dealing with when he gets afraid.
Good.
Well, that's okay. I mean, as long as you're good with it, you know. I mean, when you see the 5-year-old show up, you go, "Oh, the 5-year-old's out. So let me treat the 5-year-old like a 5-year-old." You know, what would I do? I'd say, "You want some ice cream? Huh? Yeah, you want some ice cream? You want to play? What do you want to do?" Yeah. Right. That makes sense.
I actually get that. Mm-hmm. I can really.
And that's not
bad.
It's like we have to recognize that all the planets are different ages. And when the person's 5-year-old's out, you know, you have to work with the 5-year-old. I mean, I have a 4-year-old Venus. So she really loves very passionately, but she also gets a little tongue-tied and is shy, right? Oh. So my other planets have to say, you know, she's kind of shy. And people go, "You're shy?" I'm like, I am. I'm really shy. You know, you wouldn't know it from me talking on the phone. But me in person, I'm a little shy. Yeah. I kind of look at you
so
like, "Oh, hi." Really?
Yeah,
because my 4-year-old comes out, right?
Yeah, but it's like people don't think so because you also are not, I mean, outspoken is not the word, but you speak your mind, you know? So then people are like, "Well, how are you shy?"
Right. Well, they're running into my Mars in Capricorn, which is 7 years old. You know, that kid's not shy at all. She just goes, "No, I don't wanna." But when my Venus is in action, you know, she's shy. Uh-huh. She's a Scorpio Venus. She hangs out with Saturn. She wants to kind of hide behind her mother's legs, you know. And, of course, my mother's not here. So, you know, but you have to kind of honor the age of the planet. So for those of you listening and going, "Well, how do I know how old the planet is?" Find the degree sign, and that's the age in years. And then the sign with the little asterisk after it, the apostrophe, is minutes. Divide the minutes by 5, and that tells you how many months. So in the case of our fellow here, he's 5 years old and 8 months old. His son is 5 years old and 8 months, and his Jupiter is 5 years old and 4 months. So the Jupiter in Virgo going to get scared, have anticipatory anxiety, go, "Oh, no, 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 no." And then the son's going to go, "Okay, I gotta disappear now. You know, I got to go play with, got to go into my man cave," or whatever the 5-year-old does. And so once that calms down, then it's good. But the rest of the chart is very nice. And I wouldn't worry about the Venus Uranus. I would say that's you. You're an Aquarian. And you now know how to work with this chart and say, "Oh, well, the 5-year-old's out. Let's play with 5-year-old games."
Is the 5-year-old going to always pop in and out, or will the 5-year-old?
Always. That's natal potential, baby.
No, always.
No, but if you say to him, "How old are you right now?" You know how you do that sometimes when you say it when someone's really having it, and you go, "How old are you right now?" And they go, "I'm 12. And you look at the chart and you see what planet's 12. It's a little chorus in there. And there's baby planets and there's older planets. And, you know, they all have a role and they all have jobs. But when we're dealing with, and he's very sensitive emotionally. He's a Scorpio with a Virgo moon, so Virgo Jupiter, so he feels it energetically. And he goes, "Ooh," right? And, of course, Virgos are a little, they have anticipatory anxiety, so they get a little nervous before they start stuff. Yeah. He's a good guy. I would have fun. But, you know, just know that then you're 5-year-old. And, you know, look at your planets that are 4 and 5 that are attracted to him and bring those planets out and say, "Okay, let's play," you know.
My Jupiter.
There you go.
Is 4 in Virgo as well. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. So your 4-year-old understands
how to
hang out with
Nelly's his 4-year-old. Playing.
You got it, baby. And you go, "Weren't
good
you
time.
Nervous Nelly's playing?" Right? Yeah. So my friend Emily went on a cruise with her family, and she met the guy she's married to, Barney. And but at the point, you know, they were on the cruise, and they had a really great time on the cruise because they were playing and stuff. And then they got back to New York, and it was, of course, not New York, Washington. It was back to work. And, mm-hmm. you know, and he was from Washington. She was, too, and he didn't call. And she was like, I said, well, you know, he's back to work. You know, that was play. Here's work. And she's like something. And she called him, and he's like, oh, you want to play in Washington? And she's like, well, yeah, then we had fun on the cruise. They got married. They've got kids now. But it was, you know, he was never going to call her because it was a cruise thing, right? So
oh, my God.
You got to honor those little four-year-old. That was the cruise. That's not New York. That's not Washington. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So
wow,
you want to honor your little four-year-old with his four-year-old. So.
Yes,
and the image I'm getting is my sister. There was a kid across the street that my sister really liked, and she tackled him and kissed him. And we have a video of it. And, he, you know, and he just was down on the ground, and she was on him, you know. So
yeah.
So take your little Jupiter
totally
and tackle
it.
Him. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally what the energy was like. Like, at the wedding, like, we totally saw each other, and we're like, hey, hi. You know, I don't normally do that. I'm really shy, but we were both just like, I like you, I like you.
Yeah.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
So. Nice, cool.
So find places to go dancing, you know?
Yes, he loves to dance. That's so funny that you say that. He loves to dance.
Yeah, so in New York, if you live in New York, I'd say go to that swing dancing over at Lincoln Center. They have great dancing there.
Ooh.
Under the stars. Yeah, outdoors.
Oh,
little walking around. And there's lightning bugs, too.
Oh,
which would make his little 5-year-old really happy, huh?
Me too. That would make me so happy. That sounds magical.
Yeah. Well, you go by the place where they have where they're doing the My Fair Lady, and that
mm-hmm.
section by the theater there's ladybugs in the trees. It's
oh,
incredibly cool.
Beautiful.
There's ladybugs all over the place. So the music is playing, but the ladybugs are flapping away. Yeah,
oh.
It's very cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And ladybugs are so symbolic to me, so that's thank you for that.
You're welcome. Say, let's go trap some ladybugs at Lincoln Center. I know where
Yay.
They hang out. Yay.
I know where they
All right,
out.
So good luck with it. Have fun. We love wedding. We love wedding connections because that means you've formed on a happy day when everybody was happy.
Yeah, look at that.
And love was in the air. Yeah.
Love was in the air. Thank you, Anne.
You're welcome,
I'm
honey. Big
wishing hug. Love for you.
Thank you much. Thank you much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Care.
All right, so now we'll go try the next one that's been holding second longest. Hi, second longest holding. How are you? What's your question?
Hi, and I'm just wondering if you can give me a reading.
Yep, what's your birthday?
September 30th, 82.
1982?
Right.
What time?
I believe it was 11:30 at night.
Where?
Southampton, New York.
Okay. And what's your question?
I'm looking to move around October, so I'm wondering if everything looks good around that to make that move.
You're looking to move in October. Okay. September 30th, 82, 11:30 at night in Southampton. Yeah, it's okay to move in October. I would say it's probably, there's an opportunity to move the beginning of November, actually. And let's see what's going on with October. Hang on. So your progress moon is...
November is fine, too. It's pretty much before, you know, winter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've got the progress moon in the 12th house, so it's leaving the 12th house, wants to go into the 1st, and that's going to happen as of August. So anytime after August, the chart's kind of in the mood to move, right? And then Jupiter, the progress moon is the ruler of the home. And then Mercury is retrograde all of August, so that's an opportunity too, but not as big as, you know, some of the later ones. Jupiter is stationing on your Sun Venus on August 31st. I'm sorry, on July 11th, which
mm-hmm.
kind of feeds forward, and then August 31st has good dates for moving. And then Saturn is going to go direct on your. He's going to go direct at 2.5. and he gets to your Uranus, which is also a move aspect, because you have Uranus ruling your money house. Are you moving out of state, or are you moving?
No, just upstate, from Long Island.
Just upstate, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, you've got nice stuff in November time frame too. Yeah, you've got, it's very supported if you're ready to move. It does kind of indicate that your chart's ready for a whole new life. You know, the last 12, 18 months have been very secluded for you, and you're emerging. You know, a lot of times when people emerge from the 12th house, which is actually happening this month, they
mm-hmm.
have this, okay, now I'm ready for a new life. And the eclipse on August 10th is right on your ascendant. So that can be a nice lead on, and it's opposite your Vesta. So that can be a nice lead on an apartment or a place to live, watching around August 10th, especially contacting old people that you used to live with or people that, you know, that you knew from before. And then you're having Saturn on the Mercury, which is, you know, again, connecting with people. And that's in August. Mercury is retrograde on your Mars, saying, okay, here's an opportunity. And then you're also having, it does look like you're a little tight on funds for the money.
Yes.
So that,
yeah, I'm looking for,
well,
waiting for a job to come through.
Waiting for a job to come through. Okay, so that
yeah.
money situation should improve a little bit, but you're going to have to be a little fierce on the savings. Because the chart,
right,
you know, the chart
right.
is showing that you're ready to move, but you might have a little trouble with the money piece of it. You know, like coming up, you know, because a lot of times they ask for first and last and third rent and whatever. They're a little ridiculous, frankly, but they ask for more than seems reasonable to me. But I guess they're a landlord, so I'm not, so I shouldn't be judging. But yeah, your chart is really ready for the new move, and it may very well be you partner with someone. Or you find a source of money that's through a friend or a sibling, Libra. They have stuff at 7 to 9 Libra. So that would be who I would look at, you know, if you're going to borrow mm-hmm. some money from somebody for part of the deposit on the place. But once we get to the fall, the chart really kicks up and it says, okay, I'm ready to go. So if we wait as far as December, the end of November, then the chart really has a lot more. I got fireworks going on outside my building. I don't know what that's for. It's not a holiday, is it? No. Huh, I don't know. I got fireworks firing. Something's going on. But, yeah, so the South Node comes to the Neptune and releases that. That's the second week in November. So you've got a lot of stuff that says you're ready for a whole new life. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Very good. Good. Yay. So,
thank you very
other
much.
Questions? Oh, okay, good. All right.
That's it. Hello?
That's
Thank
it.
You.
Okay, good. That's a good question. Okay. All right. So then, got time for one more maybe? It's fireworks. I don't know what the deal is with fireworks. Hi, 806-420. You're on the air. How can I help?
Hi. My name's Mary. My date of birth is 12/13/57. I was born in
12/13/1957. Okay, what time?
12:15 p.m.
12:15 p.m. Great. And where?
Los Alamos, New Mexico.
Los Alamos. Okay. And what's your question?
I have been married 33 years and am having some difficulty staying true to my marriage.
Okay. And you're wanting to leave it, or you're not sure that you...
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, you know, 33 years is Saturn and a little extra. You know, it's 35 is a natural Saturn time of saying, okay, what am I doing? You're a Sun Sag, which has strong freedom needs. And with the moon in Virgo, normally that's not something you would do, because moon in Virgo likes to follow the rules. And you're Mercury in Capricorn. You believe, you know, you gave your vow, you should keep it. That said, you're having really strong freedom needs. So when I see that, I'm always like, okay, how do you give yourself the freedom that you need within the relationship or within the the story. So the Venus Uranus is being very stimulated right now by the node of fate on it and by Mars on it. And so Venus is saying, I need more than what I have. And I need it. I need to stretch. And now Venus in Aquarius can do many things. She doesn't have to, cheat and fool around on her husband or anything like that. But what she wants to do is she wants to be intellectually stimulated. So if it's a conversation relationship where she's being stimulated and being turned on by lots of conversations and communications, and that's really, really important to her right now. If it's that she's got an infatuation with someone and there's like this magical Mars thing happening, that's really, really important that you sit with your Venus. She's 6 years old. She's 5 years old and 8 months. And your Neptune is 4 years old. And you want to sit with them and say, okay, when you were 4 years old, you got these rules. And now Venus is saying to you, let's look at the rules in a different level. Let me understand the rules I'm looking at. And so that's what we want to do. So when you say to me 34 years, I take 30 and I add 4 degrees of Neptune. So I want you going back to what was going on in your parents' marriage when you were 4 years old that you, little psychic you, were picking up on. And probably back then you made a vow. You said, okay, I promise I will, bop, 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 bop. And that vow is up for question. So it isn't so much the vow with your parents or your husband, it's the vow with yourself. Now, we always can change our mind. We always can realign the vows. We always can come up with a different vow. We can look at the vow, and in March, when Jupiter stationed on your Mars, he activated all this, and he said, okay, so I'm going to test you. And a lot of times the things that we do as vows when we're little become kind of, we're kind of locked in them. And that's not a bad thing, but what you're really being asked to do is go look at the vows you made when you were little, look at the vows you made to your partner, understand what those vows were for, and then look at where they need to be changed, adjusted, tweaked, moved a little, pressed a little, because Uranus is just going to keep pushing on them over the next few months, saying, is this a vow you want to keep? And remember, we can make a vow, and we keep the vow. You have Mercury in Capricorn. Mercury in Capricorn requires you to go in and say, I think I've changed my mind. Mm-hmm. Or I think I want to do something differently than I've been doing it already in the past. And so the Mercury in Capricorn, most important, that Mercury has to keep its word. So okay. Whatever you do,
and
you have to do it.
What about the North Node?
What about the North Node? He's at 9. He's at 9 with Neptune there. The Neptune is what I'm watching because the Neptune's getting very stimulated by the Uranus square, and he's squaring the Venus. And Neptune right now in the sky is at 15, dissolving the Saturn and dissolving the moon, right? Dissolving the moon for sure, trying to dissolve the Saturn, the structures. So Neptune's dissolving things, but the vow was made when you were 4. When you were 4 and 5 years old, right? 5 and a half. Oh. That's the place to go back to, what that vow was. What was going on in your parents' marriage at that point? What did you decide about your life that now you can look at and say, okay, so what's my vision now based on what I was taught back then, what I believe to be true, and now that I'm older and I'm wiser and I'm figuring these things out, what's my next vision? But the Neptune is 39 years of marriage. What you're saying is 34. So the node is 39 years of marriage. We add 30 to every planet. So 30 to Pluto, 2 years ago, you got all triggered. Now at 4, it's dissolving. So your job is to go, okay, it's dissolving. What direction do I want it to dissolve in? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Okay. And just be gentle with yourself. You're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to revise your vows, right? You're allowed to say, the vow I made back then, then they have a thing in, where you renew the vows. You say, what's the vow I would make today? And is it different than the vow I made back then? Right?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Good. Yes, it does.
Off you go. Remember, that little Venus, she wants to play and she wants to talk and she wants to chat. and she wants to have fun. And so you have to say to your little Venus, I'm going to make sure you have fun, because that's what you're missing. You're missing the fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to give
her
fun.
I'm missing the Mars in Scorpio.
Well, that too, but Mars in Scorpio is a little older.
Mm-hmm.
The Mars in Scorpio is like, he's 23. Jupiter stationed on him. That's when it started, when Jupiter stationed at 23, and Jupiter's coming back over that Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at that Mars going, yeah, that's when everything takes action. But right now, Jupiter's in that eighth house going, okay, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? And when Jupiter goes direct on July, you know, it's going to come to the Mars pretty quickly and give it a push.
Okay.
So you want to have it clear before Jupiter gets to before Jupiter gets to 23 Scorp.
Okay.
But yeah, your Mars is 23. I mean, your Mars knows what it wants. It's your Venus and your Mercury that are confused. Your Mars is like, I want naked, and I want a lot of naked, and and it's trying my ascendant, and I got stimulated by that goddamn Jupiter, and he woke me up last fall, and now what, you know?
Yeah, now what?
And we go, now what? We say to Jupiter, well, what the hell are you waking me up like that for? And Jupiter goes, you know, into each life some Jupiter must come, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Good. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Anne.
You're welcome. Have fun.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It definitely is fun. Right. That's the goal. Okay. All right. Now, on that note, Axis Astrology is over and done. We'll talk to you all next week. Hopefully everybody will be back in the saddle and back in Montana and back not feeling sick. And this is Aunt Orly signing off from the Bright Red Desk, wishing you a great week, and watch out for that Mars on the South Node. It's trying to clean out stuff in your life. Bye-bye.